This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
Today on Know-How,
we're tackling the most common 3D printer problems.
It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. I'm Father Robert Ballaser.
I'm Patrick Dillahanty.
And for the next however many minutes it takes, we're going to be open up your brain so we can pour in the knowledge that is the know-how. Patrick, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good, Padre. How about you?
Pretty good. You know, we had that episode last week on the Cayenne on a Raspberry Pi, and it's doing quite well. We're going to have to repeat that because people are obviously interested in playing with Raspberry Pi and the Internet of Things.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some really cool stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have to get you a frame. I have to get you a couple more parts, a couple more sensors. But
power.
Power, yeah. Oh, it's the little things, Patrick. Yeah. It's the little things. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Today is all about 3D printers.
Yes.
Now, this is yours. You want to explain some of the issues we've been having?
Yeah, I got this based on your recommendation from Know-How. And I printed a bunch of things on it that came out really cool. And then it just stopped sticking to the bed. I tried the different filament, different temperatures, and no matter what I did, it would just create spaghetti down here.
Right. Now, we all are familiar with the spaghetti. If you've owned a 3D printer, you know what that looks like. It's basically you have a normal print until it stops adhering, and then it just becomes like a Furby or a Tribble worth of filament.
It's just dragging the filament all over and makes a big ball of mess.
Yeah, and the worst part about that is if you have multiple objects being built, the fur ball gets dragged into the objects that haven't been destroyed yet and just wipes out everything on the plate, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to take a look at some of the causes for that. Now, the first thing that I looked at, and this is actually true of the Plus, because remember, I did not suggest the Plus. I suggested the version 2. You upgraded to the Plus.
Well, has it integrated screen?
It does, but it also is a bit more complicated. I actually bought a Plus over the summer, and I had to send it back after driving it really, really hard. I mean, the thing was printing 24/7 for like a month. But the temperature gauges actually failed. And so what was happening is the bed would overheat and then underheat, then overheat, then underheat. That would definitely cause the problem because what happens is the reason why we have the heated bed is you want to keep the filament more or less at a constant temperature. Otherwise, parts of it will contract and other parts will expand and it pops itself off the bed and you get spaghetti.
Yeah.
The heated bed should theoretically keep at least that first layer, the first layer that adheres to the plate, at the same temperature so it stays nice and straight and solid on the platform. If that gets too hot, it melts the filament and it will rub off. And if it's too cold, again, you get the temperature variances and it pops off.
Right.
But let's look at some of the things that you might be experiencing. The first thing that has to happen and the first thing that you should think of when you have something that's not adhering is bed leveling. Now, Patrick, this is a nice printer. This actually is nicer than the two in the sense that it does have not auto leveling, but it does have a leveling routine built into the menu that theoretically should allow you to be able to level the bed without having to worry about things like, am I off on this corner or off on that corner?
Right, yeah. And I've tried leveling this so many times.
And no go.
No. So I don't think it's a leveling issue.
Yeah.
But I did write to Monoprice and ask them about the issue.
And what did they say?
They said, have you tried tape?
Yeah.
How about some hairspray?
Yeah, I have used hairspray and I have used tape. Yeah. But the thing is, if it's a brand new printer and if it is the Plus, it should adhere to the bed. So let's see if we can make that happen. The first thing we're going to do is, before we start leveling the bed, we need to level the print head. This is something that people overlook, especially on the i3 clones. And that is if this bar here, where the hot end goes back and forth, if that's not level, nothing else will level properly. Because what you'll get is you'll get basically the plate being skewed. Have you noticed that at some points, like, that you can't get the spring out enough, and some other points you can't get the spring down enough?
No, I haven't.
All right, well, let's see what this looks like. If you go to my cast, this is a little level. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put this phone on the crossbeam. And what we want is we want all, see that the one at the top, we want it to become red to say that it's level. Now, if you come back out to the outside camera, what I'm going to do is there's actually an adjustment point here that allows me to move this up or down. Go to the cast, Alex, and I'm going to go ahead and adjust this. There we go. Right about there. So it was about a degree off.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's important because if the head is moving at an angle, there's almost no angle that we can put the bed at that's going to be good for that filament. It's going to be skewed. Right. Now we're going to go ahead and do the leveling routine. And this is not as simple as it sounds because you actually need to do this routine multiple times. Mm. A mistake that a lot of people make when they have a printer like this is they run it once, they do all the leveling, they follow the instructions, and they think, oh, that's good. The problem is on a bed like this, as you move the screws to level one corner, it's by necessity going to unlevel another corner. So you have to keep doing it until you don't really adjust anything anymore. So let's go ahead and activate the leveling routine. We're going to go to Tools. We're going to go to Level. And I've got a leveling card. Now, this is something I got off of my Dremel, but anything that's about 0.3 millimeters is just about perfect. What we want is we want there to be just enough clearance for the head to touch the card but not really hold it.
Yeah, I've used a piece of standard printer paper.
That'll work, too. That's a little bit thin.
Okay.
And in that particular case, then you need to make sure that it's not touching it at all. Like, you can't feel it. This is 0.3 millimeters is just about right where I can have a tiny bit of friction and it's okay. So I'm going to go ahead and move it to the next position. And what's going to happen is it's going to go on to a corner. And notice how it's coming in from the outside corner. It wants to be closer to the center because that's where most of the prints are going to take place. So in this case, I worked on this a little bit before the show. It's just about right. I'm going to give it a bit more tension just to see if I can get it down
there.
That's
a lot more tension.
Oh, wow. Come on. Wow. This bed is way, way off. I've actually run out of room on the bed. So what's happened now is that screw is all the way loosened, and it's still not touching.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So let's go ahead and check the other side. We'll keep coming back. I've actually got a solution for that. This has been a problem with the Plus version. I've noticed this on two separate printers where the carriage underneath is actually bent a little bit. And you have to fix that. Either you have to send the whole thing back, or I've got a different kind of fix. So let's go ahead and do this one.
The other fix, a hammer?
Or a pair of pliers. There we go. Okay, so now I'm starting to feel a little bit of tension. And there we go. So now it's grabbing. So I'm going to pull it back. That's about there. So that one's perfect. Let's go to the next one. Same thing. There we go. And let's go and loosen up the screw until we get a little bit of tension.
I noticed there are burn holes in your card.
There are. Sometimes I do this when the head is hot because I get upset and I just want to get it done. Right about there. Okay, so that's good. And go to the next one. All right. And if you want to go ahead and handle this one. Yeah, so just loosen that screw until you start to feel
it's
it grab.
Loose.
Nope, you're almost there. There we go. And I know this is tedious, folks, and I understand that this is a pain in the butt, but if you don't level properly, no print will ever come out right. Even if it does adhere, it's going to be skewed, and it's just not going to look right. Is that about right?
I think that's about right.
Yeah. So let's go to the next one. See, now that was one complete level, but let's go ahead and do it again and see if any of those adjustments change this first one, because some of these, there was a huge change, and we're going to need to be able to... There you go. We're going to be able to readjust the corners that we just adjusted. And you have to keep doing this over and over and over again until finally you can get within like one or two turns of saying, yeah, we're good. Now, this corner didn't want to touch at all. I'm betting it's going to want to touch a little bit now because we've adjusted the other sides.
Yep.
Oh, see?
It's stuck.
Remember how in the first pass, it wouldn't touch it at all.
Yeah.
And that's because the other screws were retracted all the way. So go ahead and adjust this one. So you're going to want to tighten it.
Other way.
Yeah. Remember, on the front screws, if you go this way, it's gonna tighten. Oop. And on the other screws, you go that way. About right?
Right about there, I guess.
Okay, so we go to the next one.
Touching but loose.
Yeah. I typically do 3 or 4 passes.
Yeah.
That are coarse, and then I'll do another pass that's really, really fine. And my criteria there is I can't turn, if I turn the screw one complete turn, I got to do another one. See, see, it's not even going under.
Oh, yeah.
So, and anytime I'm doing this, like that's 12 turns there. Anytime I'm doing that much turning, I have put the other corners out of out of alignment. Next.
But theoretically, every time you go around, you should be doing less and less turning.
Correct. And if you're doing more and more turning, then that's when you have to start thinking, I think my bed is bent.
Mm.
Yeah. But same thing. This won't even go under the head anymore because we turned it so much just to get it contact. Okay. Well, there we go. So we're going to get a little bit of friction, but not a whole lot. Okay. And then the next one. You want to do this one?
Sure.
Now, one of the other things that I try to do when I'm doing this is I watch the motion of my steppers and make sure that they're smooth. There are a couple of units that are i3 clones where the steppers are actually either moving excessively or you'll see them shudder. You'll see them jitter. If they're shuddering and they're jittering, what's happening is it just means you've got a really low-end device and it's not aligned properly, and it might actually be skipping a thread or two. And if it skips anything, that's just a dead print, period. That's never going to work.
All right.
How you doing?
That's good.
All right. So that's round two. Now we have to do a round three. Mm. And again, what we're looking for is we're looking for less adjustments. We want, every time we do this, we want there to be less turns of the screw. If there are less turns, then we're heading in the right direction. If they're not, then again, look at bent bed or look at miscalibrated steppers. Now, Patrick, there is another problem on this printer, and I noticed it the first time, and that is the filament spool that you picked, which is, by the way, model price,
yeah,
is way too big. It won't actually fit up here.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that?
I went to buy some clear filament, and they sent me this giant, thick spool. It's just a 1 kilogram spool, and I do have another 1 kilogram spool that Tony got, which is glow-in-the-dark, and that does fit.
Yeah. So, and we've got that Coops in the chat room saying, do you remember when Monoprice only sold cables? And yeah, that's true, but did you realize that Monoprice is currently the highest volume seller of 3D printers in the world?
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I
wouldn't have guessed to them.
Yeah. They're all i3 clones,
yeah.
But like their Ultimate is a fantastic printer. We're actually going to talk about that a little bit later.
Oh.
Now, we're getting close because I've only had to turn – I turned that one about – 1.5 turns. This one.
Now, isn't this like 3D printer a rebranding of?
It's an i3.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all i3s. And I mean, right now, if I could buy any printer on the planet, the one I would get is the Prusa, the Mark II, mm-hmm. that by Joseph Prusa. And his design has basically been cloned so many times because it's good. It's a great design. All right, so we're really close. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and just pretend like we've leveled it. I think we've got it close enough to at least that here.
Yeah.
But let's move on to another problem. Another problem, and this is something that you did, is these beds, over time, they will collect junk.
Yeah.
In fact, you had a good millimeter of dust on this thing, which tells me that you've been upset with it for a while.
Yeah, I've given up on it for a while. The last time I used it was shortly before you went off into silence.
Right.
So that was June?
Yeah, yeah. Now, remember, the filament is not always pure. It's going to have some impurities. It's going to have, at minimum, it's going to have the oils on your fingers. A lot of that stuff gets deposited on the bed. And also, if we're touching the bed, the oils from our hands get directly put into this. It creates a bad surface. Now, some people use acetone. I don't, because acetone can really destroy things, even in dilution. I use this. This is just isopropyl alcohol. I have a bottle of this next to each one of my printers, and every time I do a print, every single time after the print is done and before the next print starts, I go ahead and wipe it down.
Uh-huh.
And this is just this is a really easy way to get rid of that oil. Now, we might have to do a little bit more on yours because I don't think yours has ever been treated with alcohol.
There was one time.
That one time. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. After I brought it. No, I brought it here, and that's one of the things I tried to get it to stick.
Right. And then there is one other thing that you can do to get it to stick, and I know that they suggested this. I would not suggest tape. I have had really bad luck with tape. This works.
Hairspray.
Not just any hairspray. I can't stress enough that the type of hairspray that you use matters. Most hairsprays will have just a lot of additives, like scents and such, that can actually clog up the nozzle. And if that happens, then you've got a much bigger problem than prints not sticking. You may have just messed up your hot end. This will actually allow you to have a no scent. So this is Aquanet, which is kind of hard to find. Aquanet unscented extra super hold.
It's also good for potato cannons.
It's also very good for potato cannons. So give it a good shake. You don't want a lot. A lot of people, like, they put down a crazy layer. This, about 3-4 inches away, that's all I'm going to put. That's it. I'm going to go ahead and let that dry off a little. In fact, that might be a bit too much. I'm going to go ahead and smear it. We don't need to glue the print to the thing. All we want to do is we want to give it enough of a rough, sticky surface where that first layer is going to stick properly. And that's what we just did.
All right.
So the question is, will all of this actually equal a decent print?
Did you just wipe hairspray on my other parts?
No, I was just getting rid of some of the dust.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned the towel. Now, this, I'm not really happy with this. This is not a really good way
no.
to hold filament.
No,
I'm thinking the spool is probably going to come off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Let's avoid that.
Yeah,
do you have a pair of scissors with you or something? What I'm going to do is I'm just going to cut off enough filament to complete the small test print. Okay, watch. I'm going to call
just
on the,
it off.
The power of Zeus or... Whoever. Who does Diana ask for? Ta-da!
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, by the way that you store filaments also makes a big difference. They, especially PLA, is very much affected by humidity. So be careful with that, because if it gets in too much of a humid environment, it will just start snapping.
Fortunately, we're in California.
We're in California, right. So I'm going to go ahead and kick off this print. Right here, and I've got one in here. There's a little twit coin that I've created. It's going to start heating up, and while that's working on that, I do want to talk about some upgrades that we're going to be making to the i3 clone. So right now I've got a Maker Select version 2. I've got a Plus, just like yours. I've also got a Dremel. So those are my three main printers, and there is actually an update that I can do for all three of them. See, right now, if you were to open up this hot end, what you would see is there's a metal tube that's surrounded by high-density plastic. That's a way to keep down cost, and it's a really nice way to mass manufacture the hot ends. The problem with that is it's plastic. And what you'll get is you'll get thermal inconsistencies. And if you get thermal inconsistencies in the hot end, where you get a vastly different temperature at the bottom than you do at the top, or where it's just losing heat much faster than it can pump heat into it, you get wobbles. Have you ever done a print and you see it looks like the sidewalls are wobbling a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
That's not always just because you've got an inaccurate printer. It can also be because there's a thermal variance in that hot end, and you'll get expansion and contraction. In fact, you've seen this. Have you ever been sitting there and the material just starts to drip out of the tube?
Yeah,
or it retracts as it cools.
But...
Yeah, so because what will happen is, again, because of the thermal variance, you've got the filament doing things that it shouldn't be doing. And if that happens, you could end up with a void in your print. And if you have a void in your print, that could either cause a complete collapse of the print, or it can cause those sidewall wobbles. There's an upgrade that you can do to any i3 clone that actually solves this.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's actually not that expensive. I contacted the folks over at MicroSwiss. They're the company that does some high-precision equipment for 3D printers. And this is what they sent me. These are their all-metal conversion kits and their hot ends. So what this will let me do is to replace the hot end. Right. So rather than having that plastic, this is all metal. This is going to have stainless steel on the bottom, aluminum at the top. Much better for thermal consistency, and much better at conducting the heat directly into the filament where it needs to be. I did one upgrade so far. I replaced the head on my Maker Select version 2, and I have to say, oh my God, I can't believe how much
better.
Huge difference. I didn't think it would, but it is so much better now. It is so incredibly consistent. It's almost, you kind of want to say, well, why did you give me the other head? You charged me $50 more.
Yeah.
And it's not just the head. They also have let's take a look at this here. You can take a look at this one.
Okay.
I'll take a look at this one. I've got a couple of these kits because I'm going to upgrade the Plus as well, And I'm also going to upgrade the Dremel, because the Dremel is a semi-i3 clone. So inside each one of these kits, you're going to find this. And it's not that difficult of an upgrade. This replaces the block, this replaces the extrusion, and that's your head. Yeah, exactly. And they even give you the tools that you need to do this. Now, these are very, very finely machined, about $50 per, depending on which kit you're going to need and which printer that you're playing with. But all the upgrades that I've done to my printer, and I've replaced the bed with borosilicate, and I've changed out my internal electronics. Nothing has changed the print quality more than this, which I probably should have figured, because it's the print head, and if the print head is bad, then yeah, no go. They also sent me this. They asked me to try this out. I don't think you've had this problem yet, because your printer hasn't been working properly. But have you had a problem where, like, some of the filament will grind away and then it gets stuck because it won't advance anymore?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, that's typically because the grabber mechanism, it flexes, because again, it's made out of plastic. Mm-hmm. And if it flexes, what could happen is the wheel that turns to push the filament into the hot end, it actually like erodes some of the material away. And if you have enough of it eroded, what will happen is it has no more place to grab.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just spins, and the filament sits there, and the print fails.
Oh.
This, if you go to the side view, Alex, this is an all-metal grabbing unit. So this is the little wheel that advances and guides the filament into the hot end right there. And this lever, because it's all metal and the assembly is all metal, it's not going to flex like you get with the plastic assemblies, which again means that's one less thing you have to worry about. Now, together, the hot end and the feeding mechanism, I can't remember how much this costs, but I think it's going to cost you like a total of about $70.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, see? Yeah, it's doing the same thing. So we're going to have to redo your calibration. But when we replace those pieces, it allows me to have so much of a better print. It's actually kind of scary. Yeah.
Hmm.
I love it. All right. Now, Patrick, when we come back, we actually have a question from Akita, who wanted to know about a 3D printer that he should be buying.
Oh.
Yeah. He's got about $1,200 to spend, he said.
Whoa,
yeah,
okay.
So it's going to be a little higher end.
Yeah.
Not this one.
No.
You're definitely going to want to get one of the higher ends, like an Ultimaker or even maybe the high-end Monoprice. But before we get to that, what I'd like to do is do a little callback, because you mentioned that it was on my recommendation that you buy one of these.
Yeah.
I want to show you the actual recommendation that I met. Let's jump into the Wayback Machine and take a look at what is undoubtedly the most dependable 3D printer I've ever had. That's the Monoprice Maker Select version 2. If you've ever looked at building your own 3D printer, you'll probably recognize the design of the Monoprice Maker Select version 2. It's based on the Prusa i3 design with a few Monoprice improvements to increase build quality while keeping the price low. The Maker Select uses a traditional three-axis design, with an in-bed stepper controlling the Y-axis, a single arm-mounted stepper controlling the X-axis, and dual steppers driving the Z-axis. The Maker Select build area is very generous. It supports a maximum build size of 7.9 inches by 7.9 inches by 7.1 inches high, and has a heated bed to keep your prints from curling due to thermal inconsistencies. The Maker Select offers a maximum of 100 micron resolution and a 100 millimeter per second printing speed, which is excellent for a printer in this price range. And the extruder has a maximum temperature of 500 degrees Fahrenheit or 260 degrees Celsius. This means that the Maker Select can use a wide range of filaments, including ABS, PLA, XT, PET, TPU, TPC, FPE, FPA, HIPS, jelly, foam, and felty. Basically, if it's 1.7 millimeters thick and filament shaped, the Maker Select can probably use it. Assembly is required, but it only involves 6 screws and an included hex wrench. There are multiple plugs to connect, but they're all clearly labeled, and with the pre-made wiring harness, each plug can only reach the socket to which it's supposed to be connected. You can have the unit unpacked, assembled, and ready to calibrate in under 5 minutes. Calibration takes a little patience and a little practice to get it right. Plug in and power on the unit, and in a few moments you'll see printer ready on the LCD screen. Using the Z position feature, move the arm away from the bed to get some workspace. Be sure not to force the arm up or down manually. Use the menu feature to avoid damaging the printer. Now, compress the springs on the 4 bed adjusters. Then use the menu to select Home All, which will move all the steppers to their home positions. Shut off the power
Then manually move the printhead and the bed to position the nozzle over each of the four corners of the bed, each time adjusting the height of the bed to be close enough to cause friction with a business card between the extruder and the bed. With the printer calibrated, it's time to load up and print. Again, using the menu system, first preheat the extruder to the temp required by your filament, then load your filament of choice. Be sure to match your preheat cycle with your filament. You want to get this temperature right so the filament will extrude properly. With the printer assembled, calibrated, and loaded, it's time to get printing. The Monoprice Maker Select version 2 uses either the USB interface or a micro SD card to load a sliced 3D object. Monoprice suggests using the Cura slicer, which is compatible with STL, OBJ, and 3MF files, but you can use any program you want as long as it outputs the G-code. Large heated bed, flexible filament options, fast printing, and decent resolution, the Maker Select is a phenomenal value at $300, but be prepared to tinker. You should get into the habit of calibrating your bed often, especially if you move your printer. Unlike some more expensive units, the Maker Select doesn't have a protective outer shell, which means any part of the printer you touch is a structural member that, if moved, can ruin the calibration. Also, without a shell, the Maker Select can be loud. If you have a separate lab or storeroom, you definitely want the printer in there rather than in your workspace. For those reasons, I can't really recommend the Maker Select to a 3D printing newcomer. But if you have even a little 3D printing know-how and patience, you'll get beautiful prints and the ability to hone your 3D foo. Also, you're going to love all the 3D printed add-ons that the community has already made for your scrappy Select. Finally, at $300, the Monoprice Maker Select version 2 isn't just a good value. It's got value to spare.
Now, the trick with the version 2 is the fact that it isn't an advanced printer. It is an i3 clone. That's literally all that it is. They didn't add anything into it. They didn't add any special sauce. It's as if they found the i3 clone plans on the internet and they decided to manufacture it. It does do a few things right, like it's using a metal frame rather than a plastic frame. And like in this particular case, that's doing a little bit better. Oh. You're still having some adhesion problems. I think another problem that you're having with this printer is this filament is just horribly, horribly, horribly bad.
Yeah, well, I did
buy it
from
Monoprice.
Which
was sold by
Monoprice.
Yeah, and careful, you're running a little bit. And that actually matters. I've found that I love Hatchbox. Hatchbox is not the cheapest. It's not the most flexible, but it works. And it doesn't jam up my print head. It almost always adheres if I've got my bed leveled properly. I was just looking at this filament, and on the waste parts, there are so many voids, and it seems like the filament is stretching when it shouldn't be. That's something you have to look at. In fact, you know, one of the things you're going to want to do, if you start to experiment with other types of filaments, because remember, this does a very wide range of filaments, look at that. Actually examine how does it stick. Does it last? Does it snap? Does it absorb water so quickly that I get this very inconsistent printing process? That's going to matter in the long run. So, yeah, that's it. And the thing is, I like the 3. The Plus. I do like the Plus. The Plus is nice. I have it side by side with my 2, my version 2. But if I run them side by side, the one that's going to break down first is the Plus.
Wow. I wouldn't have guessed that the Plus wouldn't be as good as the 2.
Well, so. it's not a matter of good. It's the matter that, you know, the Plus
reliable.
Is really good for beginners. Yeah. The menu system
that's
works incredibly well. The Maker Select version 2 actually requires you to know a little bit about 3D printing, but because it doesn't have all those super special extra features, it tends to work a little bit better in the long run. Yeah. So this is actually adhering.
Yeah.
There's some extra slag going out there, but again, that's because you've got bad filament. I think this is actually going to work. We're really close to a good calibration.
There's a little fuzz sticking up from it.
So yeah. Well, I'm going to bring you some better filament. How about that?
Okay,
I'll give you a roll of Hatchbox.
You can take my crappy stuff and maybe try it in one of yours.
No, I don't. I'm not putting that anywhere near my printers.
Oh, we do have a question from Akita. Andy Say is looking for a decent, actually more than a decent, looking for a good 3D printer, and he wanted our input. Patrick, what's he got?
I'm sure there have been many discussions about 3D printers here, but I am tossing between two printers and looking to get some input from the group. The first printer is the Lulzbot Mini 3D printer. My local Micro Center has them in stock at $11.99. The second printer is the Monoprice Maker Ultimate 3D printer for $6.99. Of course, kicking myself as I missed when it was on sale about a month ago for $5.49.
I would have bought that at $5.49. Are you kidding me? Jeez.
And none of their codes work for 3D printers.
Yeah.
Anyway, for the price difference, is there really much of a difference?
Andy, I am so happy that you asked this because we get this a lot because of the fact that there are manufacturers like Monoprice that are willing to take a more or less standard design, beef it up a tiny bit, and then turn it into a marketable product. A lot of people are asking, wait a minute, why am I going to pay $5,000 for this machine where it looks really, really close to this other machine? Let me start off by saying, some of those high-end printers, like Ultimaker, or what was the one that he wanted, the Lulzbot, those are actually really good printers. I've seen them at Maker Faire. I've played around with them. I don't want to take anything away from what they've done. They've truly made some wonderful, wonderful machines. But that's not what he asked. He asked, is there much of a difference?
Yeah.
And this is going to get
subjective. Is there a $500, $600 difference?
That's close. Let's go ahead and take a look at the specs of each of these machines. Alex, if you go and go to the first one, the Lulzbot Mini. There's a couple things that I really like about this. First of all, it's $1,250, so it's a little on the higher end. You're talking about a 152 by 152 by 158 build plate. So that's the size of the print. 275 millimeters per second at 0.18 height. That's fast. That's really fast. Supports all the filaments that you would expect. ABS, PLA, HIPS, PVA, wood, polyester, PETT, bronze and copper, polycarb, nylon. But that's going to be the same across both printers. And it's going to come with a one-year warranty, which is pretty standard if it's a decent printer manufacturer. Now let's jump over to the Monoprice, Alex.
We've got pretty much the same specs here.
Yeah.
Except the
bigger build size.
Yeah.
So the Lulzbot was 152 by 152 by 158. This is 200 by 200 by 175. And yes, that does make a difference because it could mean the difference between having the ability to print something all as one unit or having to break it up.
Yeah, an extra 50 on each side and 25 taller.
Yep.
So that's
And I have used the entire difference. Build surface before, so that would mess up some of my builds. Also a heated bed, but unlike the Lulzbot, it's not borosilicate. So borosilicate is just glass. I love glass. Glass cleans well. It adheres well. But not all build materials, plates have them. I can upgrade my printer to have borosilicate, but it's nicer, it's easier if it's just included. It is heated, but instead of glass, it's going to have build tape. Here's another big, big difference. The Lulzbot can do 275 millimeters per second. The Ultimate, the Monoprice Maker Ultimate, can do 150 millimeters per second. It's almost half as slow.
Yeah.
That's definitely in favor of the Lulzbot. The same layout of filaments, the same one-year warranty, and I actually have used my warranties on all my printers, and Monoprice has stood by them. And by the way, I bought them. These were not the review units. I bought them just so that I could see if they will actually honor the warranty for everybody. Obviously, they didn't do it for you, but
they said try tape.
Right.
Maybe they'll do it. We'll see.
Now, here's the thing. Is the Lulzbot Mini better than the Monoprice Maker Ultimate? I will say yes. Even with the bigger build surface on the Ultimate, I think the Lulzbot gives me better quality prints, and it's a little easier to build on. However, again, is that worth $500, $550.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. I'm actually not very much no.
It's a tough call. I mean, $500. You could buy another 3D printer for that and make up for the slow speed.
Yeah.
So just get two Monoprice Maker Ultimates.
Actually, this is
true. You have the larger build area, and you just print twice as fast by doing twice as many prints.
Right. But here's the thing. The Lulzbot, you can get the same quality print out of a Monoprice as you can out of a Lulzbot. But setting this to an even higher resolution will very, very much slow it down.
Yeah.
So it might not be twice as slow. It could be 1/5 the speed.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, actually, let's break away really quick. If you go to the overhead, Alex, this actually worked. So that was an adherence. And around it, you see a little build plate. This is a tiny little 5-minute print. It's got the Twit logo on it. Fortunately, it doesn't show up really well on transparent material. But this means that we're really close. I wouldn't say that this is a complete success yet. I would want to test it with a different filament just to see if the filament is really messing us up. But we at least have something sticking to your build plate.
Yeah. It's not a complete mess.
Yeah. Now, here's the other thing about this, which is we used Aquanet, right?
Yeah.
You have to wash that off before the next print.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Just FYI. Someone also, during the breakaway, somebody asked if we could just make a solid build plate so we don't have to adjust it. The problem is you can't, because the plate is going to shift and change as you heat it, as it moves, as it vibrates. If it's a solid plate, it just means that you'll never be able to adjust it when it goes wrong. What I have done in the past is I've got a little bit of Loctite Blue, the liquid, not the stick, but the liquid, and I'll put a tiny little drop onto the thread just to keep the threads from vibrating loose.
Oh.
But I always want to keep my adjustability. Now, back to the Lowell's Bot versus Monoprice Maker Select, Maker Ultimate version question. What I would say is... depends on what you want it to do. If you're looking at something for your lab and you just want to have a nicer machine so that you can test out prints, then the Monoprice Maker Ultimate is perfect. If, however, this is a lab that's going to be used by a lot of people and this is not just your machine, the Lowell's Bot actually does come on top. And that is worth $550, the fact that it adjusts more quickly, that it prints more quickly, that it's easier to use for more people of different levels of skills. And ultimately, that's what it comes down to me. If it's just me, I will buy the best solution that gives me the most flexibility. If it's not just me, I'm going to get the printer that will work for more people.
Yeah.
Will you go with that? Can you give that the Patrick stamp of approval?
Yeah. And I think if you do go with your budget, if you do go with the Monoprice, get two.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah. Also, if one is down for some reason, you've got a backup.
You know what we should do?
Or do you like Patrick and have three or four?
We should. I want to give away one of my printers. It kind of hurts. It hurts me in the heart place sometimes in the Google Plus group when people are like, I don't have a 3D printer. I'd really like to do that, but I don't have a 3D printer. Some of these are so inexpensive now. I bet we could actually like assemble a kit and then give it away.
Hmm.
It wouldn't be the best, but at least it would get people into the world of 3D printing.
Assemble it, then we'd have to disassemble it to ship it.
Yeah, but at least they'll see how we assembled it so that they can follow the instructions in the video.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, we know that this has been a lot of information. We want to make it easier for you to copy anything that we did. We've got links for all of the products that we've talked about. I've also written up the techniques for balancing your bed or spraying it full of hairspray from the 80s. You're going to find that at our show notes. Patrick, do you remember where those are?
Those are at twit.tv/KH.
Yeah, and while you go there, you're not going to just find the old episodes in the show notes of our episodes. You're also going to find a little drop-down menu where you can subscribe. If you've ever wanted to know how you can support the show and make sure that we can give you all the makery goodness that we can, that's where you go. Go to twit.tv/KH and subscribe to an audio version, a video version, or a high-definition video version. It's a really good way to support the show. Also, don't forget that we're on the social, specifically Google+. I know we're one of the last active groups on Google+, but we're going to stay there because it's a great place to gather the Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls. Once you join up, and there's a very short approval process by going to Google+ and searching for know-how just to keep out the spam accounts. But once you're part of the group, you get access to almost 12,000 of us. These are people on every stage of their maker and DIY journey. You can ask questions. You can answer questions. You can post pictures and videos of your projects, and maybe we'll use it here on know-how. But that's not the only place you can find us, Patrick. We're also on the Twitters, right?
Yeah, I'm at twitter.com/pdelahanty.
And you're going to find me at twitter.com/PadreSJ. And you're going to find the third member of our crew. We call him...
Freddy the Raccoon.
Freddy the Raccoon. You're going to find Freddy the Raccoon at twitter.com/ANELF3. Right, Freddy?
Excuse me, Padre. I don't have an answer.
It was a really, really long night for Freddie. Until next time, I'm Father Robert Balasair.
And I'm Patrick Delahanty.
And now that you know how,
go print it.